Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Look who's back. Look at that smiling face, the bearded face, the gray-headed assassin, El Cerebral. The brain.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Brian McDonald. It's good to have you back, Brian. And to show that, no, talk is cheap. I always say this.
Yeah.
Talk is cheap. That's why they pay us $10,000 a year. Talk is cheap.
You guys
right?
Do that much?
Well, you're not talent, so. Talk is cheap.
It is.
Talk is cheap. Action is where it's at. Tokens of appreciation.
I don't feel like this is going to be sincere.
Is where it's at. So you know what? Did you do anything today to welcome Brian back?
Nope. Jeremy certainly did something.
I did. Yeah. I gave him 50 pieces of audio to cut as a token of appreciation to say, welcome back, Brian. I'm taking it easy on you. It's 100 pieces to cut. Only going to give you 50.
I heard Brian saying he was so excited to be back and to be cutting all that audio for
I
you.
Described it to Sean as it's a below average. Lot level of audio to pull.
Below average, I think.
That's fair.
Is that was he the most volume?
He was a volume shooter. Randomly, Glenn will give me 30 and then use 10 of them.
Yeah, we're probably a little bit more sporadic. We'll have a day where it's like heavy audio.
Yeah, yeah.
But pretty light, I think.
We're pretty light.
Pretty
light.
Like
today makes sense.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely on the light side.
But I was like, yeah, Brian, and speak for yourself.
Get to work.
Look at that. Of the three of us, I am the darkest.
Facts.
Come on now. Don't disrespect me that way.
That is true.
Yeah. All right, lots to get to today, but it's good to have you back, Brian. The band is back together. The Twitchers probably don't feel the same way, but I don't want to speak for them.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear, living in his mother's
lots
basement.
Lots to get to. We'll get to some NFL stuff a little bit later. Texans. Today was actually day two of OTAs, but it was the day one of allowing the media out there. But they spoke to the media. D'Amico had some words. C.J. Stroud had some words. And because the Twitchers love when we play Texan sound.
Oh, we're going to play a lot of it for them.
We do what the Twitchers want us to do, and they love us to play D'Amico Ryan's cuts. So we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cash them or trash them, perhaps. I do have a soccer segment planned. We'll see if we get to it.
What is it? No one knows.
I know.
Well, you know.
I know.
We don't.
This is, of course, it's debatable. We might be the top soccer show on this station. Might be.
Just you, Joe.
We get the most bets right.
Maybe like soccer IQ, Glenn, former soccer player, Glenn.
Yeah, we're high S2 soccer.
Yeah, but whenever it comes to soccer betting, look no further than Jeremy and Joe. Mm-hmm. We kill it on the pitch.
We do.
Kill it on the pitch. So and look, I like to call us the unofficial home of the World Cup. Is that true? I don't know. It's up for you to determine, but I'd like to call us the unofficial home of the World Cup.
It's provocative.
Yeah.
Provocative.
Yeah, I like that.
That's sexy. I mean, the unofficial home of the World Cup provocative to you?
Sounds pretty
I don't
good.
Know if it's true, but it's provocative.
That's what gets you going?
Yeah, why not?
Unofficial home of the World Cup?
It gets Brian going.
Are those the sweet nothings your wife whispers into your ear?
No,
unofficial home of the World
Cup. While playing video games?
Yeah.
Not usually. No.
That's what does it for you, huh? Hopefully the dozens of junkies aren't driving off the road because of the provocative unofficial show of the World Cup.
And you put an image in their head I'm sure they weren't ready for.
Yeah. But we give away World Cup tickets. We have
Michelob Ultra gives away World Cup tickets.
Indirectly through us.
Good legal save.
Good legal save there.
We have Glenn Davis, who I would say is the only professional soccer player that's on the air in the city of Houston.
We're going to be doing a bunch of soccer watch parties
this year. How many radio shows in Houston bet soccer on the air?
We're the only one.
Who watched Wreck-It Wrexham last night?
Did you?
I don't think it's Wreck-It Wrexham.
I don't think it is. That's Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, it's a movie.
Underrated movie,
Welcome
by the way.
Welcome to Wrexham.
I watched the first episode because I'm all in.
Yeah, because Brian.
I'm all in.
Wrexham is our soccer team now.
Yeah. Oh, they're the official team. So
the official team of Jeremy and Joe.
So we just we threw JJ Watt teams aside.
Well, they suck.
Well, we debated.
They got relegated, right?
Yeah, they're
believe
dog.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to put us on Everton because they have a Houston owner. But does a Houston owner have a documentary?
Nope.
I mean, unless he's paying us to cover Everton games, we don't have to root for Everton.
They
just
already have
from
Lance's
Houston.
Support. They don't need ours too.
Oh, yeah. Lance is an Everton guy. Yeah. Oh yeah, then we can't be Everton. Yeah, no. We can't. We're going to be Wrexham. I don't even know what league they're in, but I think it's like four seasons of this that I have to watch.
That's a lot.
Yesterday was like them like giving their pitch to take over.
Okay,
but I will say this: the stadium that they play at, Wrexham, is the oldest stadium in England. So, like, we have history on our side. It's almost like the Cubs.
Is that accurate?
Like the Cubs. They play in the oldest venue, and they're completely useless by September.
That was so mean,
What's
man.
The Cubs
it's pretty much
now?
The same thing.
It says zero, Brian. It says zero.
Oh, they won again?
They finally won a game.
Okay.
Yeah. So
congrats, Joe.
We might talk soccer a little bit later. We'll see if we get to it. Make Glenn put a smile on his
face.
They're
a seventh in championship.
Oh, they're in the championship?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the second to league.
Yeah.
That's right below the Premier League. So next year we can be rooting for them to finish in the top. That way they can get promoted to the Premier League. That's kind of fun.
This is the right team.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. Like, we don't want to just, this, fixture in the Premier League. No, we want an up-and-coming squad that has to fight and claw for everything they have. Kind of like us.
Fight and claw.
We symbolize Wrexham. We're the microcosm of Wrexham. Mm-hmm. And we're going to wreck it Wrexham next year. That's what we're going to do.
Sounds great. We're to
the Premier League. But I've been watching that show.
You watch one episode. Yeah.
I've been watching. I'm going to watch it every – I'm not going to commit to it every night, but I'm going to make my way through it.
It's four seasons?
I think it might be five.
How many episodes a season?
Like 10. I mean, I'm not going to do it overnight. It's going to take me a minute.
That's going to take you a lot of minutes.
But I like a good little sports documentary to fall asleep to.
Are you really watching it then?
Yeah.
Like, what do you learn if you fall asleep during it?
I mean, I learned that they're on a video call, the Wrexham supporters, to take over the shepherdship of the team.
Okay. I'll start tonight.
That's good.
I'll get caught up with you.
Plus, you have handsome actors.
That's true.
So, like, that helps, you know?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
Hunk.
Yeah.
Canadian Ryan Reynolds.
Is Rob McElhenney really a handsome dude?
I mean, he's jacked.
I mean, compared to Ryan Reynolds.
No, he's not as pretty as Ryan Reynolds. You kind of have, like, rugged and you have beautiful with those two.
Okay.
But kind of like us.
Which one's beautiful?
Except for the
see, the problem is neither one is rugged, so I don't know.
Joe's kind of rugged.
The mustache?
Joe's kind of rugged. Yeah, I mean, sure. I'm kind of rugged. I've been playing with radio for 9 months with mommy's wrist.
Can you be rugged and have mommy's wrist?
I don't think so.
Of course.
I think that's disqualified.
I'm not convinced that's not what Yordan had. I think Yordan might have had mommy's wrist.
Yeah, well, his is cured, clearly. Yours is not.
Yeah, he's in tanks.
A lot of them.
Which is great segue, Joe. That's professional radio right there. Did you see what he did? I'm proud of you. That's professional radio. He's like, you know what? You're getting a little bit ADHD on me. 7 minutes old into Wreck'em. And then...
what's our sweat of the day?
Oh, yeah. Good call. Sweat of the day is Atlanta minus 1.5 runs.
Okay.
Which yesterday we went 3-0.
Yeah, we did.
And we won 3.25 unit. Which on the year, we're up 4.75 of a unit.
Okay.
On the week, we're just under 2 units.
Good.
So, like, we kind of know ball.
We know ball.
We kind of know how to bet.
We know on the pitch, on the diamond.
Yeah.
Not so much on the golf course.
I mean, y'all spend way too much time on that. Y'all, we were like 500 on golf. We might have lost one unit on golf this year.
How's that possible? We had like an 0-for-9 day.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
No, we didn't have an 0-for-9 day. We did have a day where he bet, I think, 9
games.
I
bet 9, but it was like 4-5.
Yeah, I thought it was 4-4-1.
It might have even
been
4-4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like pretty close to 500 on the year in golf. Now, it's not enough to like continue to do it because we haven't won at it, but it certainly haven't lost a lot. We probably lost more playing first inning runs.
Probably.
Yeah. So get off my lawn with that. Anyways, Astros won a baseball game yesterday. They lead the series 2-1, and don't look now.
Chase the fight.
I think they're in the fight, guys.
Oh, they're in the fight. They're chasing
They're in the
it.
Fight. They're 3 games back in the division. They're 2.5 games back in the wild card. The Astros are in the thick of things in the American League.
Yeah, they are right in it. I mean, I don't know if the Mariners played it. They could be 2.5 back tonight. They're right there. They're
If the Mariners play, they could be 1 back.
Yeah. They've got to have a series again coming up with them soon where they could do some, like,
I think they play the Mariners a lot already. They probably don't play them again.
Oh,
for
no, I think you're right. Maybe they don't play till August, actually. But they are absolutely chasing the fight right
chasing
now.
The fight.
Like, they are, the pitching's been better collectively.
Man, they're getting Hunter Brown back.
And then Yordan Alvarez is just a monster.
Should we start with the best hitter on the planet?
Yes.
best hitter on the planet. Even Key from L.A. thinks so after that double-dong performance yesterday. I'm not sure. And look, I understand it was a weird spot with Skip Schumaker. Eighth inning, leadoff guy on. He is the leadoff guy. He's leading off the inning, not leadoff guy on. He is leading off the inning. So, like, I get it. Like, that's not a spot you're going to intentionally walk a guy, right? Tie game, top of the eighth, leading off an inning. You're not going to intentionally walk a guy there.
For now.
I think they should probably intentionally walk him. Like, yeah. I don't want to lose to Yordan Alvarez in late close game situations.
I mean, that's what people would do to Bonds. I mean, hell, he got walked with bases low, didn't he?
He did. Buck Showalter.
You're going to see more of that now, like in clutch situations or in big moments in a close game, that Yordan's going to get walked. And it's why whoever's hitting behind him is going to turn to maybe the most important hitter in the Astros lineup now.
It has to be Christian Walker.
Yeah. And if he's rolling
like
this. It
never can't be Christian Walker.
If he's rolling like this, then maybe teams don't walk him as aggressively. I don't remember who was always hitting behind Bonds. But
Jeff Kent.
Was it always Kent?
I think so. I think Kent hit fourth, right? He hit third.
That sounds right. So, like, you know, it can Walker scare people off and people, you know.
No. Like, no, he can't.
Probably not.
But it's not a bad thing.
No, like, it's not.
No, he can't scare people off because Yordan's the greatest hitter on the planet. But Christian Walker's also like on pace for 40 homers and like 100 RBIs.
Yeah, so you're going to get free guys on base. Okay.
Yeah, like would I rather Yordan Alvarez bat with nobody on base and like pitch to him? Yeah. But at the same time, I understand the strategy involved here. And if Christian Walker is going to bat every time with a runner at first, cool. Awesome. Like that's great. He has to be the protector of Yordan, though, which is critical and is awesome that he's had a good season, that he's put it back together. But if I'm an opposing manager and I'm facing the Houston Astros, I'm not letting Yordan Alvarez beat me. There's no chance I'm letting Yordan Alvarez beat me. And I get the spot. Like, we have Skip Schumaker here, don't we, Brian? Skip Schumaker, manager of the Rangers. Like, he explains the rationale. Let's listen to it and react to it. Here we go. Skip.
Yeah, Alvarez is on a heater right now. There's no doubt about it. He's burned us a few times this year, more than a few times. We wanted to pitch him inside to kind of back him off a little bit. We did that ball with balls, and then we threw a 3-0 slider that wasn't it wasn't a terrible pitch, but 3-0 slider, didn't want him to beat us. If we walked him, we walked him. That was the message, and that was, you know, what we were trying to do, and Alvarez, you know, was still hit it out. So, yeah, hindsight, if maybe I should have walked him. It's tough to walk the leadoff hitter, no doubt, in a tie game in the eighth inning. I don't know if I've ever done that before. But the way he's hitting, hindsight always is, you know, maybe we should have just put him on at that point. But the 3-0 slider was the way to try to, you know, we knew he was green light, 3-0. Try to get it off the barrel. Maybe, you know, something happens, he pops it up. I'm not too sure how many guys hit a 3-0 homer left on left, and, you know, he did it tonight.
I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, I know what I would do.
Walk him.
It's just so weird. I don't disagree with you. I'm just pointing out the weirdness of it. And Skip kind of takes you through the mindset of an opposing manager there. It is very weird in a tie game in the top of the eighth inning to intentionally walk the leadoff man, the go-ahead runner, on just intentional walk him. It's really bizarre. It's really weird. Really weird.
But it's probably the right thing to do. Like,
probably.
And just to give him the four, just throw up the four and give him first base for free. Because then, or you're going to get what happened in last night's game where you have a 3-0 count, you throw something that's in his wheelhouse, he's still going to crush it. He's going to have a 3-0 light.
Oh, for sure.
Like, all the time now. Because if teams are going to attack him like this, he's always going to have the green light.
Oh, Yordan Alvarez should always have a green light.
He should always have a green light.
Yeah, you got to trust him. I do find it funny, though, that guys like Skip are still talking about, well, left on left. With Yordan, that does not matter. I mean, see the World Series. See Robbie Ray in the first round of 22. It does not matter for Yordan.
No, he doesn't. He has normal splits. Like, he hits lefties just as well as he hits righties. Yeah, that was poor logic there. If I were a Ranger fan or doing radio in Arlington, I would probably nitpick that point of it for sure.
Yeah.
Because that's a terrible answer. Like, Yordan hits lefties just as well as he hits righties, so that's dumb, quite frankly.
And it's not the first time we've talked about this season, about how teams are attacking Yordan Alvarez still at the end of games. Do you feel like the managers are just kind of have changed a lot to where they're more aggressive now? Or there's just not enough good hitters to intentionally walk like that? Like, it feels like this is not going to – like, I don't think we're just going to wake up today and all of a sudden Yordan Alvarez is going to get walked in the eighth inning in a tie game all the time.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I think there's going to be a lot of managers that are going to
Didn't the Mariners kind of treat them like that in their last
series? Yordan has been walked intentionally 8 times. That's quite a bit. I think it speaks to your earlier point that there's not that many hitters that are going to get this kind of treatment.
Yeah, it's like it's him, Ohtani, Judge.
And it might not even be Ohtani and Judge because they got swing and miss.
Yeah.
Like,
it might be Yordan Alvarez. It
might be Yordan Alvarez. Yeah. Like, he's
like, Bobby Witt doesn't have the power that Yordan has.
So, and here's the other thing. Okay, you could pitch around Judge and Ohtani, and they're going to chase sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you could throw Judge and Ohtani every single pitch out of the zone, and they still might get themselves out. It is very rare, and it's not – I mean, Yordan's not perfect here. He'll get himself out every now and then. But it's very rare to get Yordan Alvarez outside of the zone. You can do it with Judge and Shohei. Mm-hmm. So you could sit there and pitch around Shohei and Judge and never throw them a strike, and they might get you know, get themselves out every now and then. They might Yiner Diaz it every now and then. They might Jose Altuve it every now and then. Yordan's not going to do that very often, especially when he's locked in like this.
Yeah, I mean, and it's unbelievable. Like, the Astros sent out their PR email today.
Yeah.
It was so long of just statistics of Yordan Alvarez.
He's a freak show.
Like, just of all these things, like, you know, first Astros player with a multi-home run game since Jose Altuve. He's one of only 5 Astros to do it in consecutive games in franchise history. It's remarkable what he's doing right now.
You started to read the newspaper on me there a little
bit. That's why I stopped. I only read 2 of the 7 they sent out. But it's unbelievable watching him. Like, and that's why I get why Astros fans get so upset when you even bring up the idea of trading him when things are really bad, because this is a generational hitter on this team that, like, even if the Astros are bad, he can do things that very few, if no one else, can do in baseball.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation, though, because he's off to the best start of any Astro hitter of all time, and they're still 7 games below .500.
Yes.
So, you got to, you know, it can kind of go both ways there, but we're just awing at Yordan Alvarez. There's one area of his game where I think he's elite that I think it goes under the radar a bit.
Okay.
We'll get to that on the other side. Also, we got to tip a cap to a certain – 2 pitchers, actually. Tipping a cap to 2 pitchers. And Joe Espada, the Astros tweeted out the praise for Joe Espada. He got his 200th big league win yesterday.
He did.
Which he got a full graphic on the Astros Twitter just now for his 200th victory. Lame. A little soft. A little weak. What are we celebrating 200 wins for? And you're, what, 4th year as a manager? 3rd year as a manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not... Like, he's probably got, what, a 52-53 win percentage?
It's just like, a round number.
Like, we're just celebrating any accolade here, which is kind of weak, but it's the Astros' MO. But I do want to give Joe Espada some credit in some regard as well. So 2 hat tips to pitchers. Joe Espada, credit. And then something where I think goes under the radar in the brilliance of one Yordan Alvarez. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. YouTube on ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN Houston. Twitter, ESPN Houston. ESPN975, actually. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy, 713-780-ESPN. Key from L.A., lead off the game with a homer, then pitch 6 scoreless innings. Key from L.A., again, giving bad examples of the best hitters in baseball.
And good examples of not understanding what you're listening.
No, he's just trying to prove the Shohei point. Yesterday, we were talking about the best hitters on the planet, and Key from L.A. threw stolen bases into the category. He doesn't realize what a hitter is, but that's okay. I mean, he's from L.A., so you can understand why. 713-780-ESPN at HRMP listener line. So this is where I think Yordan is elite and doesn't get enough credit for this area. I think he is a brilliant, brilliant hitter. He is brilliant. He is super smart. The game plan at the plate. Blah, 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 blah. Very smart man. He was punched out in his first at-bat with a backdoor slider by DeGrom. I was like, okay, DeGrom, yeah, he probably feels like he can get that pitch on me. Probably feels like he has an advantage there. What was the first home run of the game for Yordan Alvarez? Backdoor slider that he you know, was struck out on in the first at-bat.
Yeah.
So thinking his way through. Where I thought it was absolutely brilliant was the 3-0 count in the 8th inning. Like, what is a hitter thinking 3-0 count, like, if you're given the green light? You're sitting there thinking, okay, it's got to be a fastball right down the you-know-what. That's what hitters are in. Like, they're looking for fastball right down the that they can do damage with.
Yep.
That's what every hitter is thinking. Yordan Alvarez, because he realizes that he's Yordan Alvarez, and because he is super, super smart, is in his head saying, you know what? I am so stinking good. They're not giving me a 3-0 fastball. They're not giving me a 3-0 fastball because I am the best hitter on the planet. What am I about to see? He's about to throw me his breaking ball. Mm-hmm. He's about to throw me his secondary stuff. So what am I going to do as the smartest hitter in baseball and the best hitter on the planet? I'm going to sit on a 3-0 slider. That's why Skip Shoemaker was in awe. That's why everybody in baseball is in awe. It's not because he had a double-dong game. It's not because he homered yet again, fastest Astro to 20 home runs. It's because this son of a gun is sitting on a 3-0 breaking ball. Who does that?
No one.
Nobody does that.
No.
It's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he understands who he is, too, right? He understands he's the baddest on the planet in the batter's box. He understands that the pitcher isn't going to groove him a 3-0 fastball, even though he's leading off the inning representing the time, the go-ahead run. He knows that the pitcher knows that I'm the baddest hombre in the league, and I'm about to see his secondary stuff.
Yeah.
And he sits on his secondary stuff and takes a 3-0 slider dead center over the center field wall. That is freak show behavior.
Yeah, it's something that, like you said, like no one really pitches that way at ever. Like
You see it to good hitters.
Like, to, like, the elite hitters. And, again, I don't know, I just throw it way out of the zone or just give them the free base? Because that's what they're trying to do.
I wouldn't have pitched them in that spot.
Yeah, like, they're trying to walk them.
Maybe
or
I
trying
throw,
to get the pop-up, like Skip Shoemaker said. Like,
maybe, you know, I throw four straight breaking balls in the dirt.
Yeah.
I might do that. But the danger there is if you don't have a pitcher that you trust his command, he might leave one hanging.
Which is kind of what he did anyways.
I don't think he hung it. I think the pitcher's thinking, okay, I'm just going to get – it's a 3-0 slider. Get me over slider. Hitters aren't going to be sitting on a 3-0 slider.
Yeah.
I can just get this over and steal a strike. I think that's what the pitcher was thinking.
And he did not.
That's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
He's like, no one swings at a 3-0 slider because he's looking fastball. So what am I going to do? I'm going to throw a 3-0 slider just to get me over, you know, right down the – it wasn't even right down the – it was a strike. But I'm going to get – just to get me over slider. Steal a strike. But Yordan Alvarez, because he's a brilliant man and the baddest hombre on the planet, sits on a 3-0 slider.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only that, not only sits on a 3-0 slider, but hits it out to the deepest part of the yard.
Yeah. That's stupid.
And all of his home runs,
he's crushing all of his.
He's not getting cheated.
He's not getting like little lollipops that are going over right into the first row of the fans. Like every one of these home runs, he's absolutely just mashing. It's unbelievable. Yeah. What he's doing right now.
I'm in awe, Joe, of him sitting on a 3-0 slider.
You should be.
In awe. Like, that's brilliant hitting.
Yeah, it is.
To sit on a 3-0 slider.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm curious to see, like, if teams will try to take a similar approach to that. If they're in a 3-0 count, like, if they'll go with the off-speed route. Or now, is it, well, I can't even throw that. So it goes into what you're saying, if just walk him.
I wouldn't pitch to him. I wouldn't pitch to the guy. Like, I mean, game situation is going to dictate it. Like, if you're down by two runs or you're up by two runs, you got to pitch to Yordan.
Yeah.
Because you can't bring up the tying run of the play. Like, game situation is going to dictate it. But if it's a tie game late, sorry, man. Christian Walker, you're going to have to beat me. Isak Paredes, you're going to have to beat me. Taylor Trammell, two-hit Trammell, though, by the way. He had a couple of hits last night. Looked pretty good at the plate. Looked good at the plate all year. But anybody else going to have to beat me.
How do you think they'll handle it in a tie game? In like the eighth inning, if Pena's on first, do you think they'll still walk Yordan Alvarez?
It's tough
to get to Christian Walker and then put a runner on second base.
That's the highest level of respect.
Yeah, like that's because that's where it's both Pena and Walker like are so important to this lineup around Yordan. Is that if you put Pena on first, if he just gets on in any way,
it's really hard for me to put the go ahead run in scoring position. But it's also really hard for me to pitch to Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
I'm probably throwing four breaking balls in the dirt and hoping he gets himself out. And if I walk him, I walk him.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm doing.
Yeah. Or hoping that Jaron Pena is just on second base already with a double, and then you give Yordan first base.
Well, of course. That makes it easy.
But it's I can't wait to see these situations start to play out.
We've seen a few. I mean, we've seen like, oh my dang, that's a high level of respect. We've seen it throughout the year. I think yesterday in the ninth inning was a high level of respect.
Yeah.
Bryce Matthews walked. Vasquez was struck out swinging. Matthews was caught stealing. So two down. And it was a one run game. It was a one run game in the ninth inning. So there's two outs. Jeremy Pena reaches base. He gets a single. And then they intentionally walk Yordan with a runner at first base and two outs.
Yeah. See,
with a one run lead.
Yeah. Two outs. I think it makes sense to do it there for sure. Just to like,
I mean, you're putting the runner in scoring position.
Yeah, it does help Pena.
That was a high level of respect in the ninth inning. We're going to walk Yordan with a runner at first and two outs in a one-run game.
Yeah, because you just throw it in the dirt and hope he swings at him or just, you know, easy ground out. But he's so patient in the box, it's hard to even pitch him that way. Like, if the team just says, we're just going to throw it in the dirt, it also feels like he's just going to be ready for that. He's going to be able to handle that, and just he'll take his free base unless they make a mistake, and he'll crush that one too.
Yeah, Yordan Alvarez ingratiating himself into Ranger hatred is what's going on right now.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Rangers call of that final home run here in a second. A junkie says, I need a Yordan shirt that says freak show behavior. I love that. It just came to me organically, too. A junkie very similar to Altuve and Chapman at bat. Yeah, Altuve won the matchup there against Chapman, with the mental matchup. Like, okay, I know what he's going with here. It is really cool to watch Yordan bat. It reminds me of the Maguire-Sosa moment. Every at-bat was aired. Yes, Yordan is far from the record, way too soon, but if you enjoy baseball, you enjoy his at-bats. I'm a season ticket holder, flex. And to be honest, I get the trade talk, but come on, you got to have something to sell your fans to come see. Winners. Winners is how you sell your team. Altuve has been solid. Pena's always iffy, and Walker's showing up, and only solid we have right now is Yordan's bat. Fair. I am not thrilled with the performance of Espada, but you were just hating. Let them live. Well, that's what we do. This is very much a hating program. We mock and ridicule silly things. Yeah. And a 200-win graphic for a manager in his third season is silly. That's silly behavior.
They've been doing it all season.
They've been doing it for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it just seems to be like their new thing.
Espada got a 100 win graphic in like his 190th game.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's got a career winning percentage of 525.
Who was it that got like actually, a 500 strikeout graphic not that long ago?
McCullers?
Was it No,
McCullers was like, what was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's got to be over 1,000.
I think it was 900.
Was it 900?
Yeah, I think it was 900. Because he was like, I hope we chase 1,000 maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it was 900.
But this just seems to be the new thing of you hit a 0-0.
Yeah, it's a round number.
You hit a round number, you get a graphic.
Well, I can't wait for Spencer Arrighetti's 10-win graphic. It's coming. It's coming.
I think there has to be 2 zeros to get a graphic.
I don't know. I know no chance. Yordan's probably got one coming for hitting the 20 home run milestone. But, well, his is actually pretty good accolade. Yeah. It's the fastest Astro to ever do it.
Yes.
Which is pretty remarkable. Here was the Dave Raymond, Texas Ranger broadcaster, on the second home run from Yordan Alvarez, top of the eighth inning that gave the Astros a one-run lead.
6 1/3 scoreless. And there's a swing at a high fly ball center field. Takes Carter way back. He'll look up. That's gone. Alvarez has homered again. You'd think at some point he would just get tired. That's his 20th home run of the season, and I feel like we've seen most of them. 3-2, Houston.
Remember when Altuve?
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
Remember whenever Altuve terrorized them a few years ago, and Dave Raymond was like losing his lid? He said something like that people took controversial, and he was being very sarcastic. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it Houston Astro fans hated him for it.
Oh, I think they just don't like him.
No, for sure. But he said something like super sarcastic, and people took it seriously when Altuve hit like his fourth home run of the series. And it's like he's very clearly being sarcastic.
Well, because
he came on with John and Lance too.
I do remember that. Yeah,
yeah, he was a good sport about it.
Because when Altuve had his back to back games, it was against the Rangers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So he must just be tired of the Astros.
I can't remember what he said. 713-780-3776. What was that sarcastic thing that people took seriously about what Dave Raymond said? Garrick says the Astros also need Pena to consistently get on base to protect Yordan and force teams to pitch to him. Yeah, that's a great point. Which Pena's not had a good offensive season. Now, he's been banged up. Very small sample. Hopefully he figures it out. And also, he should be getting good pitches to hit with Yordan hitting behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it should enhance him, right? Dell and Sean were talking earlier about possible landing places for Yordan Alvarez and the Astros inevitably letting him walk when his contract expires. I think the Astros should make an exception to how they do things and do everything they can to keep Yordan, even paying him huge money. They cannot let this man walk out the door. Yeah, that's where we land. Like, there's three scenarios here, right? You trade him before his contract expires, you re-sign him, or you let him leave in free agency. We all agree that worst case scenario is letting him leave in free agency. It 100%. Needs to be one of the other two things.
Yeah, it's not you cannot let a guy like this walk out the door.
Yeah, and it's look, his contract's not up until after the 2028 season, so you still have time. Like it doesn't have to be urgent. It doesn't have to be imminent.
Yeah, and who knows if the owners get their way, it might be easier to sign him. As we saw today.
Oh, Brian remembered. Brian texting us. I don't know why you just didn't jump in. That's rare of you.
Because if I did that, Rusty? Then There's a different comment coming my way.
He said, Brian just texted us. He said it's easy to get six hits when they all go over the fence. That's right. That's what he said. And he was like very clearly like a joke, sarcastic.
Yeah,
and people in Houston were like, well, how dare he say that about our little Jose Altuve?
That's a weird one to get upset about.
But remember they did.
Yeah, I do, yeah. He went on with John and Lance the next day. Yeah.
It's easy to get six hits when they're all over the fence. I remember it was something stupid. Peyton Tolley has the best mustache in all of baseball. It is so good. That's Don Mattingly-esque.
I don't know, man. I think Christian Walker's is pretty high up there.
You know what helps a good mustache is when it's dark.
Yeah, yeah. That helps a lot.
Yeah, and Walker's is
a red mustache.
Yeah. You got a little ginger stash going.
Yeah.
Which we love. We love that about you. Well, you do you.
No, Tolley's probably one. I think Walker might be too.
That's a great mustache for Peyton Tolley. That's might be the best mustache in baseball since Don Mattingly. It might be the best mustache on the planet since Tom Selleck.
Spencer Strider has a pretty good mustache.
Yeah, he does have a good mustache, but it's not as thick.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it's as thick as Peyton Tolley.
I haven't seen
Skeens' mustache. I haven't seen it. 713-780-ESPN. Did the Rangers broadcaster say it's almost if he knows what pitch is coming? No, that was Earl Hershiser.
That was Hershiser. Yes.
I think he made reference to the buzzer BS. I don't think Dave Raymond has done that. And that's why everyone jumped him, deservedly so, when you're perpetrating a lie manufactured by a salty, janky fan. No, I don't think that was him. I don't think Dave Raymond did that. I think it was the one that Brian said. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Get your thoughts on the machine that is Yordan Alvarez. We still have to tip a cap, though. Tip a cap to a certain two pitchers that we're tipping a cap to. I think you can probably guess one. And then also, I want to give credit to Joe Espada. Maybe I feel bad because we were mocking his 200 win graphic, which deserves to be mocked, but I want to give him some credit. Some credit where it's deserved. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get into the pitcher hat tips in a little bit. Eric DeBeyer, wait, that was the Dodgers broadcaster. I think it was Earl Hershiser.
Yeah, he was the Dodgers broadcaster, yeah.
Thanks, Brian. That's what I was saying. Brian's mansplaining to me that Earl Hershiser's the Dodgers broadcaster.
Just making sure we're all on the same page.
He used to be a poker ambassador on Poker Stars.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I think I played some tournaments with him. I think he was at my table once or twice, Earl Hershiser. I don't know why he was a poker ambassador for Poker Stars.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but he was.
Cashing a check.
Probably. Or maybe he was just such a big poker fan. He is a big poker guy. That right fielder for the Rangers is the 21 ALCS, knew a pitch was coming. There's no way anyone could hit that well. Yeah. Or he was on steroids. Allegedly. I didn't say that. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the pitcher hat tips here in a second, but let's go out to the HRMP listener line. My dear friend, Tommy, is on the line. Tommy, it's always great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, guys, it's good to hear from all of you. I appreciate the show. I just want to say that I know the show is called Jeremy and Joe, but here's my pitch. It should be Jeremy, Joe, and Brian. I love Brian, and the reason I'm siding with Brian is because Brian is the one guy that will stand up to you, Jeremy. Joe, I love you, but now every time you say something, you make an opinion, and Jeremy jumps on you, you always agree with him now. I mean, you can be total opposite. And then Jeremy says something, and then you'll be like, you know what? Yeah, I see your point. You're right.
Well, I was right.
Brian does not do that. Brian does not do that.
Well, Brian's just arguing with a wall.
Brian on the show.
Appreciate it, Tommy.
Anyway, Brian the Brain, I'm all for you. I love you guys.
Love you too, Tommy.
Should I leave now, and you can just do the show?
I mean, I make great points. I don't know why Tommy's mad at you. Tommy's mad at you because I make a great point. You're like, you know what? That's a great – yeah, you're right. That's a really good point, Branham. Brian, even though I'm right, he'll just argue it for the sake of arguing.
Yeah, he just likes to argue.
I do like to argue. That is fair.
So, yeah, he'll argue
but
an incorrect stance.
You also like to argue, so I feel that leads to some combativeness.
I wouldn't say I like
it. Oh, come on. What would your wife say?
I don't argue with my wife. I know better.
Yeah, he keeps it all for us.
Yeah, I know better to argue with my wife. That's a losing battle, Brian. 713-780-ESPN. Always appreciate the call, Tommy. So I want to tip a couple of hats. First one, Mike Burrows. Burrows was very good yesterday. Didn't get off to a great start yesterday. It was like, uh-oh, here we go again. Give up the run in the first. Home run to Peterson where it's like, okay, here we go. This is unlucky Mike Burrows at it. But he settled in. Now, the Rangers don't have a great offense, but I'll take 2 runs, 7 innings for Mike Burrows every single night.
So absolutely.
Tip the cap to Mike Burrows after a rocky start. Very pleased with that outing.
Yeah, there's plenty to be pleased about. I know we were looking at – I was looking at his the pitching chart that comes out after every game from
the one website that I forgot already. And like they said, his stuff wasn't very good, but his box score was good.
Yeah.
In last night's game, I think that's just kind of who he is.
Yeah, I think he has mediocre stuff.
Yeah, like there's gonna be days where he's gonna have a good box score. But what I appreciate about him, what he's done this year, is just the length that he's been able to give at pretty much every start. Like he is efficient in getting through these games, even when he doesn't pitch that well. He's able to get you deep into ball games, which has helped a lot with this bullpen this year. But last night was very good for Mike Burrows.
Yeah, no,
good bounce back.
I'm with you on that. I mean, he is mid Burrows. But yeah, this is what you want from him. And look, even if he like his ERA is still not great, but if he can get the ERA around four, give you seven innings every night,
that's a win.
Yeah, yeah, that's a win. And I think he's capable of doing it. Like we mock the unlucky thing, but he has been a little bit unlucky. His peripheral numbers are better than his expected numbers. His expected numbers are better than his real numbers. I get it. But I care more about real numbers than I do expected numbers, and I like to mock the narrative. We like to mock around here. 75 says, how about Tommy and Brian start a show somewhere else? 75 says, BMAC argues with himself in the mirror every morning. There you go. One other hat I want to tip my cap to. Eniel De Los Santos.
Yeah.
He got you five outs yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He got you five outs yesterday in what was a one-run game. Like, that was a Nels performance by Eniel De Los Santos. That was a good find by Dana Brown. We got waived by Atlanta.
Yeah, it's been a very good find. He's got a couple of those saves this year, and holds too, where he's having to get three, four, five outs. Like they've used him in a variety of different ways. The one strikeout where I think he threw three straight changeups in last night's game. I still don't know if I like fully trust him, but it's been a good find.
Yeah,
He has been the reason why they've been able to overcome the Abreu stuff, a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like without De Los Santos getting through the end of these games, it's like I guess it could have been King in that situation or Oker, but De Los Santos has been a huge boost to the back end of this bullpen.
Well, it couldn't have been. And this is where I'm giving praise for Joe Espada. Joe Espada has been slotting his pitchers, his relievers, really nicely. Really nicely. Like Brian King can get you the three outs in the ninth. But he likes to use pitchers in certain slots based on who's up for the other team, how they hit lefties, how they hit righties. That's why Brian King came into the game in the eighth inning yesterday, not the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Is because he was like, okay, here we go. We got a slot of lefties coming up, guys that are very good against right-handed pitching. I need my lefty out there. So he uses Brian King in the eighth inning one night. Uses him in the ninth inning one night. He might use him for four outs in the eighth and the ninth one night. He's using Eniel De Los Santos against the tough righty pocket. So I actually want to praise, and Joe Espada gets criticized a lot for this. Like a pitcher blows a game, oh, Joe Espada doesn't know how to manage the bullpen. And that has been a criticism of Joe Espada, is that he can't manage the bullpen. But he doesn't have Josh Hader right now. His second best reliever, Brian Abreu, who's been a train wreck all year, he's been getting production recently, but he's still like, oh, what are you going to get with Brian Abreu?
Yeah, it's not important situations.
There's been, you know,
a little more recently.
Right, but it's still rocky. Like he's gotten out of innings and he hasn't allowed runs in innings, but he's still hitting two guys or he's walking a guy, base hit, runners first and third, two outs. Like there's still rocky spots. So where Joe Espada, I think, has done a really good job and where he's been criticized in the past, and I think he's doing a really good job now with no closer, his second best reliever has been, you know, up and down all year, and that's putting it nicely, is that he's using Brian King, Steven Okert, Eniel De Los Santos, whichever reliever he has available to him, in the perfect pockets, and I think he's doing a really good job handling a bullpen that is depleted, especially without their hosses, their dudes. So I just want to give him a little bit of credit for Mr. 200.
Yeah, I think that's terrible. I can't believe you just said that.
What?
I know.
He won his 200th game. Show her some respect. Okay. Skip.
Tomorrow you're going to say call Mr. 201?
No, it's got to be a milestone.
Okay, just making sure.
It's got to be a milestone. Making sure we're Mr. 200.
We're not tracking Joe Espada wins every
Hopefully he's not Mr. 200 tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully he is Mr.
201. If he's stuck on Mr. 200, I might call him that again.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, now he's Mr. 200 until he gets to 201.
I think that Mr. 200 is doing a good job of managing the bullpen.
Well, Mr. 200 also, like, it's interesting when you go back to that first season with the Astros, and they started off terribly slow, and then they obviously got much, much better. The bullpen was a huge part of that, too, and Hunter Brown was obviously not good then either at the time. But, like, it felt similar to the way this season started, where the bullpen was kind of a mess, and maybe it takes him some time to get a feel on what these guys, like, what their real roles and what they're going to be good at is going to be.
Yeah.
Because now it feels settled in. That it feels like he has a game plan of, like, him and the pitching staff have a plan of how they're going to attack the opposing hitters at the end of games. And you bring Josh Hader back, it makes it even easier.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're instead of using King in the toughest left-handed pocket in the eighth or ninth, now you're using him in the seventh or eighth.
Yep.
Instead of using Enyo de los Santos for the toughest righty pocket in the ninth, now you're using him in the seventh or the eighth, maybe even the sixth. So, yeah, that's I just wanted to tip my cap to Joe Espada in that regard. Mr. 200 is criticized often for how he handles the bullpen, and I think he's doing an admirable job this season without his two dudes, one because of injury and one because he's lousy. 713-780-ESPN. Junkie says, I wouldn't say that Jeremy likes to argue. He absolutely loves to argue. He probably argues with himself in the mirror every morning. Junkie, somebody else already used that joke. Secondly, I don't like to argue. I just like a good, fair, balanced conversation.
Yeah.
That's all I like. I like good, fair, balanced conversations. I like to entertain every single possibility. I like to talk about the whole scope of things. I don't want to sit here with blinders. I want to talk about the whole scope of things. So that's why I like to... What are y'all laughing? That's why I like to...
I'm thinking of examples for... never mind.
No, I play devil's advocate all the time. Okay, like, there's times I play devil's advocate whenever I agree with you because I think it is important to have the conversation of the full scope of things and not just, you know, blinders on.
That's fair.
You need every perspective. You need that. That, to me, is the best conversations when you have best perspective. You know, the last thing I want to do is go sit and talk to somebody that talks just like me.
No, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I like to have the full scope of the conversation.
Conversation with someone who agrees with everything I say.
Right?
That's boring.
Yeah.
Excellent, agree. I'm getting crushed.
I just like to be open-minded about things and, you know, entertain every possibility. That's what it is. It's not that I love to argue.
Where do they agree with Joe?
No, they agree with Tommy.
Oh.
That I'm a yes man.
I don't think you're a yes man.
I don't think I am either.
You're not a yes man. You're just a right man.
I agree. I let you make your point, and I acknowledge if it's a good point.
Yeah, you acknowledge if it's right or not.
That's why we have this clip of Joe.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
That was Joe.
That's why he's Joe Judge.
Yeah.
It's because he, you know, rules on things. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's get into a bit of our Texans conversation. We'll talk Texans here for a little bit. They did their OTAs today.
Texans!
What was your favorite thing from OTAs today? And we'll get to some DeMeco sound a little bit later. We'll get to some CJ Stroud sound a little bit later. He's looking leaner. He's looking meaner. He's looking like he's got a good haircut. I like the looks of CJ Stroud. I like the new look. Like, he looks more like a man, you know? Like, he's, you know, he's kind of matured into his body a little bit. He's got a little goatee going, which he always has, but looks fuller for some reason.
Okay.
I'm not going to say this is going to make him a better quarterback.
But, he looks better.
He looks more like a quarterback.
Sure.
It's like, okay, all right. I'm liking what I'm seeing from CJ Stroud. But what were the best things from Texans OTA day two? And we'll get to some Miko sound. We'll get to some Stroud sound a little bit as well on the Twitcher's demand. The Twitcher's demand. We wouldn't be doing it if it weren't for the Twitchers.
Who's a fat 713. Guy in his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
What is that, the second or third time you've hit that drop on them? You've missed them.
Second, yeah. Right. Well, making up for lost time.
Making up for lost time. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Junkie says love the show, but both of you love arguing but get butt hurt too often. All right.
What?
I feel like we're the less buzzed hurt of any show.
I don't think anyone, like, we've been doing the show since September. I think it's happened to me like once or twice and Brian once or twice and that's it.
I don't really get rattled much.
No, that's why I didn't say you.
There's been far more important things that have happened in my life for me to get rattled over sports argument.
That feels like a previous form of the show conversation.
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot. That's not fair.
It was fair, though.
I wouldn't say fair. Accurate, perhaps. Fair, no. No. It's not fair unless somebody can defend themselves.
I mean, well, I'm not going to go too far.
Now, are we all fair at all times? Absolutely not.
No.
Is this a fair show? Absolutely not.
No.
No. But it was a cheap shot.
Show of bullies.
I was encouraged.
I can live with it.
I was encouraged by the loss the other day with the Astros. Typical when they have been in a hole early in the season, the bats just shut down. But to see them fighting to come back was encouraging. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday and how maybe it has an impact on the series. You know, the Astros got to the bullpen yesterday. Junkie, so Jeremy thought Stroud used to look like a woman before his haircut. No, he just kind of looked. He kind of looked like, you know, after you get your freshman 15. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you go to college, you put your freshman 15 on, and then, like, you know, eventually you grow into your grown man body.
I feel like he just kind of looks like a grown-up now.
He looks like a grown-up now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the look. Do I think it's tangible? No. Jeremy never gets rattled ever. The one that gets butthurt the most over there with y'all is definitely Lance. Oh, he's talking about all shows.
Oh, okay.
And it's so comical when he gets mad about it. I see. I thought you were talking about us specifically. You're talking about all shows in the station.
Lance doesn't get mad at Dale or John, though. He gets butthurt over callers.
Lance.
Yeah, Lance.
Yeah.
He gets so upset about what was his glasses, his concert glasses. That no one liked
it. Yeah, I think that was partly at work. Though.
Oh yeah,
like everyone was upset.
I did have some people reach out to me that said they think it was at work too. They just kind of went with the flow.
Oh, like, that's how you should.
Kind of a theater there. Shout out to you guys. First afternoon show I've enjoyed since the Blitz with Fred and AJ. Those guys are legends. Don't put us in the same category. Also, stop with the compliments. It's weird. All right, it's weird. Okay, a lot of these CJ Stroud texts I'm not reading. I can't read these texts from CJ Stroud. Like you guys are going to get in trouble. Yeah, but I started it in a professional way.
Yeah, I know, but you knew how they were going to take it.
I did not see it coming that way.
Oh, I did.
Maybe that was dumb of me. Maybe that was ignorant of me.
Yeah.
Fair, but I did not see it going this direction. We're not going to accept all these terrible things that you're saying about CJ Stroud's looks. 713-780-3776. Not going to do it.
Well,
some of them I can't read.
Give us a few examples of what we can't say.
I would like to stay employed.
Yeah.
Wow. But that bad, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, look at this. Look at this. Somebody just called me a whitey. Do they not know anything about me?
Half whitey.
He's a typical whitey response. I'm not a whitey.
And I'm Mexica.
A half whitey. Get it right. The wheelhouse was way better. Y'all are second string. There we go. That's more like it. Lance needs to get mad about his dry brisket. Lance's dry brisket was rough.
Yeah, I think he does get butthurt about that.
Have you seen him, though, post more of his meats lately? I think he's trying to, You guys are such children. Why are y'all like this? Why are y'all like he smokes meat?
That didn't help.
This is the way that you say it. Like,
well, I say it the way it should be said.
Meat. Yeah, you can do that on OnlyFans. I've
y'all
heard.
Are children.
Is Lance on the? Is,
y'all are
Lance
children.
On there?
Y'all have the humor of elementary kids.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
He posts his smoked meat on Twitter.
I have the humor and math skills of elementary.
I heard that yesterday.
Hey, no. I want to hear from you, Brian. You weren't here.
I also heard about the sun thing.
Oh yeah.
Or the moon. Sorry. Come on, Joe.
No, but to Lance's point about his like dry meats and stuff, he posts them now more.
Yeah,
I think he does that to like oversaturate the old brisket post. So like he's posting his new smoked meats that are looking good.
Yeah,
like he's doing a really good job. Like I want to eat some of these things; they look really appetizing.
Yeah, he wants some Lance.
So I think what he's trying to do is your child. So what he's trying to do is water down that old post from the past.
Yeah,
he's makes like, sense. Look, because in the past it was here's my smoked brisket that's really really dry.
Uh-huh.
That's the one image you have of me posting about food. So now let me post a lot more about smoked meats. And have about 8 or 9 of them that all look really, really good to where now you've kind of discredited that dry brisket.
Yeah, which
although
is
no
what
one,
you should do.
No one forgets about it.
No, no one will forget it.
No one's going to forget about it.
Because it's bad.
Yeah.
It looks really bad.
Yeah. Who was the one politician who has one that it comes up like every Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was
was it Governor Abbott?
No,
it'd be hard for him to cook a brisket.
Is it Beto?
No, I thought
it was that Democrat from New York. I forget his name
now. I thought it was a Texan.
Well, maybe
you're
might
right.
Be multiple.
It wasn't a Texan, though. You're right, because it gets bashed by Texans because he wasn't a Texan.
The one I'm remembering is a Democrat from New York, and I'm failing to remember his name.
I think the other one, too, is Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, really?
Remember Cliff had, like, a real dry brisket? That gets like, dragged out every Thanksgiving or so.
I guess it was Cliff. I thought maybe for a second it was Lane.
No, it was Cliff.
Right, it was Cliff.
Pretty confident it's Cliff. Y'all definitely hit the nail on the head with that one. The moment someone brings up that dry brisket, he definitely gets cross-threaded. Eric the Buyer, don't have the humor of Brian and Joe, all right? You know, if you have the humor of Brian and Joe, you're not gonna have girlfriends.
John Cornyn?
Chuck Schumer was the one I remembered.
Chuck Schumer, John Cornyn. Why did it go so differently?
I don't know. It's very different.
I googled it and I found a Chronicle article talking about his brisket.
So I don't do politics. I just don't really do politics. It's not really interest me that much.
This is one. This senator,
uh-huh.
John Cornyn. I've never seen it before. It might be the worst one.
Really?
Let me see if this is the one I'm thinking of. Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, where it looks like just ketchup all over it.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I didn't realize that was Cornyn. But anyways, I don't do politics.
Well, he just lost, so.
But do you know what I'm really interested in?
What's that?
The mayor race in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, why I'm interested in the mayor race in L.A.? It has nothing to do with politics, but it has to do with a reality star running for mayor. And I love reality television. So I this is like reality in real life. It's hilarious to me.
We were watching the I watched the Summer House reunion last night from this last season.
It's not done. There's only one of two.
Oh, okay. So then we watched the first part last night.
It was on fire.
It was.
Sierra was ready to go.
I didn't watch the season.
Sierra, well, a lot of it happened postseason.
Yeah, but you talked about it so much. The wife was watching it. She was just listening. She was watching it on her phone. And finally, I was just like, you know what? Let's throw this on the big TV. I want to watch this thing. It was intense.
Dude, that was fire.
Yeah.
The second one, have you seen the previews of the second one?
No.
Where Amanda gets up and like walks off the set because Sierra's just roasting her. And then she's like, Wes, go get your girl. She was on fire. She came ready.
Yeah, they were fighting words a lot.
Summer House Reunion was must-see TV. Finale next week. Actually, they might. Sometimes they have three episodes of it, so I don't know if it's the finale next one. Junkie says, why would it be so hard for Abbott to smoke a brisket? I think that everyone missed that comment. We all know. Junkie, I love hating on you guys, but the show is worlds better than the Wheelhouse ever could have been. Come on. Come on. I don't know about that. Cody's Toots is really good at what he does. He agreed with my take the other day.
He did. I was surprised.
Why?
I didn't think anyone was going to agree with you.
You're just trying to posture for Tommy. He's posturing for Tommy.
That
the Nico Collins extension.
That it wasn't necessary to pay him.
I didn't say that. I didn't say it wasn't necessary. I said it was annoying.
Because they didn't need to do it?
No, I think they probably... I think they feel value in doing it.
You just... Yeah.
Because Nick Caserio values happiness and, like, good morale and, like, people not holding out and demanding trade, which I understand. Like, I get that. It's just annoying when people ask for more money.
Yeah.
Like, my satellite provider today, they sent me an email saying, your new bill is going to be $8 more.
That's annoying.
Okay.
Why?
Like, I like them, though, so I'm not going to get rid of them. But was I annoyed? You're dang right I was annoyed. That was the same thing as Nico Collins. Like, I like Nico. I want to keep Nico. But he's asking for $8 more a month. That's annoying to me. That's it. That's all it was.
Yeah,
when Netflix raises their price every month. Oh,
those emails annoy me.
Yeah.
You'll never get
there
those.
You go. They're
going up a dollar,
comp.
$2 for what?
Nico Collins is Netflix. 713-780-3776. All right, let's get to, speaking of which, let's get to our Texans OTA. Some sound from Cap'n. From Cap, D'Amico, from your quarterback, C.J. Stroud. It's football season, and the Texans are ready to play.
713-780-3776.
It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Dream rate.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.